Yash, thank you for being here. So appreciative that you would come and spend some time with me this afternoon. Let me introduce myself. I'm going to pray, and then we'll get started, okay? Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for this day. Thank you, Lord, for the beautiful weather you've given us and the opportunity that you've given us to fellowship with one another. We're so very blessed. And God, we just pray that this session would be mutually edifying, that we would all be built up from it, myself included, God, and that we would have a greater burden to be missional, and we would have a greater burden to see people saved. That's our desire, God. We ask that you would just make it so. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Now, my name is Josh Schmidt, and I am the pastor of First Baptist Church of Grayson in Grayson, Kentucky. That's about as far east as you can go in the state. I'm right on the Ohio-West Virginia border, that part of northeastern Kentucky, close to Ashland and Moorhead. And it's a blessing to be here with you. Aren't you so thankful for our mission partners, the Kentucky Baptist Convention, who put this on, and then for Severn's Valley, for these beautiful facilities that they would let us use that. I'm so very grateful for that. I've been a pastor now for about 5 years in Grayson. Nothing special about me, nothing special about our church. We just really love Jesus, we love his word, and we try to do what it says. And so that's what I think why I've been asked to do this. Let me tell you a little bit about my family, and at the end you'll know why I've told you that. So this is my beautiful wife, Lauren. We've been married almost 9 years. We'll be married 9 years in July. It's our children, Benjamin, Jonathan, and Liliana. Benjamin has a birthday coming up on Monday. He'll be 4. And then our two twins here turn 2 in April. We are moving to an adoption on them and hope to finalize that over the next month. But we are so, so very blessed that God has given us them. My wife is also pregnant, 22 weeks as of this coming Thursday. And we will have 4 kids this summer under the age of 4. So God help us. Pray for us. I want to tell you that it is a vacation for me to be here today. I don't have kids screaming everywhere. So I'm so grateful to be a part of this.
Three. Yeah. All siblings.
No, this is, so these two are biological brother and sister. They're twins. And then this is our biological son. We're adopting the two on the sides there. So I know that the reason you're here, maybe you saw the title and you just have a conviction that, like me, that there are a lot of churches that don't leverage their facilities for the good of their community and for the glory of God. I share that same conviction. We're one of those churches that don't always do that, and maybe yours is the same way. We recognize that God has given us our facilities, that it is an act of stewardship for us to do mission through our facilities, but maybe you don't always do it well. I know that we don't as well. So that's one of the reasons you're here. Maybe one of the reasons you're here is because of COVID. It's kind of changed the way we do ministry. I bet that you are just as sick as I am of talking about COVID and hearing about COVID, and it really has changed the way that we do things. It's been 2 years ago now. I still remember the first Sunday that we adjusted our service schedules and did all of those things. We sat back in the back of the sanctuary at First Baptist Grace, and I remember looking at my deacons, and we all said, man, as long as this blows over by Easter, we'll be fine. Remember those conversations you had in your church? Well, it didn't blow over by Easter. And so we're still trying to navigate and figure out exactly how it is that we would do ministry post-COVID, if that's where God has us. So this is an awesome opportunity for us to kind of evaluate what we're doing and evaluate the total overall program of our church, and most importantly, to evaluate whether or not we're doing good and effective mission with the facilities that God has given us. Now, maybe your facilities aren't as beautiful and as sprawling as Severn's Valley Baptist Church. Mine aren't. I bet you don't have a campus like this here. I wish that I did. I wish that I had a nice courtyard like that and could do all of the things in it, but I don't have facilities like that. I'm just a pastor of a normative-sized church. I bet it's pretty similar to yours. We're not a mega church. We're not an incredibly small church. We're just kind of in the middle, one of those churches. I bet your facilities look something like this that's similar to ours. And I want to tell you today that if your facilities do like this, look like this, it's because God's given them to you and expects you to use them for mission. And you can do effective mission in any building at any place, whether it's a storefront, in a gas station, whether it's in an old sanctuary, whether it's in a newly renovated building, a newly built building, you can do mission, because you don't have to have a big campus to be on mission. You just need a big desire. Do you agree with that?
Yeah.
Just want to see the mission of God carried out. That's my desire. So here's where we're going to go today. I want to just give you some basic principles, things that you're already aware of. Listen, you're great pastors, you're great lay leaders and church members. You already know this stuff. I just want to reiterate some of it for you, okay? And we're going to talk about why mission is important. Before we do that, though, we need to make some really clear definitions of what mission actually is, okay? Because I think we can get confused about that, and we need to kind of agree on some basic principles as people first. The first thing we need to agree on in this breakout session is that every single person in this room, hey guys, how are you? Thanks for being here. No, you're fine. We need to agree that every single person in this room believes that our greatest call is to bring God glory. Would you agree with that? Absolutely. Yeah. We also need to agree that we recognize that one of the primary ways that we do that, not the only way, but one of the primary ways that we do that is carrying out the mission of the church, the Great Commission. Do you agree with that? And finally, we all need to agree that we believe that the local facilities are a vehicle. The facilities that God has been given to us are a vehicle for us to carry out the Great Commission. We recognize that God's given us our building. It is a great gift. It's been stewarded to us. And for that reason, we have the responsibility, blessing, and privilege of doing mission in the buildings that God has given us. Just some basic principles of using your facilities for mission. First, you recognize that using your facilities for mission is an act of stewardship. One of my favorite passages is John chapter 3. One of my great pastoral interns preached yesterday, John 3, 22 through 36. There's this incredible moment where John the Baptist's disciples are having this dispute or discussion with this Jew over the issue of purification. And they come to John and they're like, hey, you realize you're losing your congregation, right? You know they're going to Jesus. He's baptizing now, and you're losing your congregation. And John the Baptist says something really beautiful. He says, no one can receive anything unless it's been given to him by heaven. You know your facilities are that way. They are a direct gift from God, and they're only on loan to you. Pastors, one day you're going to die, and it's going to be next man up. Or you're going to get fired, or you're going to leave. You're no longer going to be the pastor of your church, and it's going to be next man up for the glory of God. It's a gift, it's a loan to you, and you're required to steward it well. It's a responsibility of us, it's a responsibility of the church. We will one day give an account for how we use what was entrusted to us by God. If you got your Bible, turn quickly with me to Matthew 25, what I think is one of the most challenging and convicting passages in all of Scripture. Matthew chapter 25, a parable that Jesus gives called the parable of the talents. And you'll remember that it's in a line of parables, the parable of the 10 virgins that Jesus is giving. And they're all kind of talking about the responsibility of the nation of Israel and how that they are rejecting the Messiah. But there is a great application for everyone, and it's this, that God gives us gifts, abilities, things, whatever it is. And in doing so, he expects us to be good stewards of those. You remember in the passage, there are these three people who are given talents, three slaves of a master who are given talents with the responsibility of stewarding them well. Verse 21, as they have been given this responsibility, and there's this one of them that has been given five talents and he increases it. Verse 21, his master said to him, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful over a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy. Then the man with the two talents also approached. He said, master, you gave me two. Look, I've earned two more. His master said, well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful over a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy. Then the man who had received one talent also approached and said, master, I know you. You're a difficult man, reaping where you haven't sown and gathering where you haven't scattered seed. So I was afraid, and I went off, and I hid your talent in the ground. Look, you have what is yours. But his master replied to him, you evil, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I haven't sown and gather where I haven't scattered, then you should have deposited my money with the bankers. And when I return, you would have received my money back with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he who will have more than enough. But for the one who does not have, even what he has been taken away from him. And throw this, I love the way the HDSB says it, throw this good-for-nothing slave into the outer darkness in that place where they'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Recognize, friends, that you have been given a beautiful facility, no matter what state it is, no matter how big it is, no matter how small it is, and all of it has been given to you so that you would steward well. And stewarding our facilities well looks like us doing mission. Second principle, using your facilities for mission is not only an act of stewardship, but it's also an act of love. I know this one probably doesn't need that deep of explanation. Your church constantly has to be loving on your community. If your community is anything like Grayson, Kentucky, where I live, they're very needy. Lots of poverty, lots of need for clothes and food. We do a lot of mercy ministry, but you recognize, like your community, my community's greatest need is they're broken and sinful. They need Jesus. And so we take care of their physical needs, but we also take care of their spiritual needs. Carter County is one of the most unreached counties in the state. 94% of Carter Countyans don't attend church on a regular basis. So more than 9 out of every 10 people I meet on the streets is not going to church somewhere regularly. They desperately need the Gospels. And so when we're missional with our facilities, when we bring people in, and it's not just about meeting physical needs, but it's about meeting spiritual needs, we are showing them that we love them. Charles Stanley said one time, God's plan for enlarging his kingdom is so simple. One person telling another person about the Savior. Yet we're busy and full of excuses. Just remember, somebody's eternal destiny is at stake. The joy when you meet that person in heaven will far exceed any discomfort you felt in sharing our gospel. Friend, would you recognize and believe with me that we show our community their love when we welcome them into our facilities and when we welcome them into our life?
Amen.
I want you to notice final principle with me this morning. Using your facilities for mission is also an act of discipleship, and a very, very important one. My church, First Baptist Grayson, with me as the leadership, made one of the gravest mistakes that any church can ever make. We just decided to start a renovation in the middle of COVID. Let me tell you, if you've considered that, please chase that from your mind. What a terrible idea. It has been, costs has gone up and up and up and up, and everything's gotten more expensive, and we're finally to the stage where we are starting to bring contractors in, and all the stuff that we were able to do on our own, we can't do anymore. So now we've got painting and we've got architecture and all of those things happening. You know what I've realized in the midst of this? Our sanctuary, our building was a golden calf in our church. And maybe it's the same way at your church. And let me tell you, it isn't always for bad reasons. A lot of people in our church worship the sanctuary in some sense because that's where their kids were married and that's where their spouse, their funeral happened. They've been coming to this church for 50 or 60 years. They love it. Their blood, sweat, and tears have been poured into this building. That's a good thing. But at the same time, when our buildings are only used for our people, we're teaching them to be selfish.
Yes.
We're teaching them to ignore the commands of our Lord Jesus Christ to make disciples. And so we have a responsibility to open those facilities up. Maybe you are like me, you grew up, or maybe now you have a china cabinet in your house. Anybody have a china cabinet? I grew up with a china cabinet with fine china that no one in my house ever ate on. I can tell you, in 18 years of living with my parents, we never once used the fine china. Brother Paul, I was convinced that my mom was keeping that china for when the Queen of England came and ate of our house. It was the only thing that would have ever made sense. You know, some people view your facilities in that way, that they're only to be used by those who are important, and the only people that are important are the members of that church. So, and it's an act of discipleship for us to teach our people and to teach ourselves that the building is bigger than just for us, that it's been made for the community. Tom Rainer's son, Sam, says that your church address is not an accident. The address that God has given you is not an accident. You are a community church for a reason. You exist for your community. And one of the best ways for us to teach our people that is by opening up our facilities. When we leverage our facilities for mission, it reminds our church and ourselves that we've been called to the greatest mission, and none of what we have is exempt from that. Would you agree with that statement? This is what God has given us. So here's what I want you to do. I didn't give you any prep before you came in here, but I want you to take just a few minutes, and I want you to think through what are the ways that my church does mission well at my facilities. Now, we're talking specifically about come and see mission today. We're not talking about go and tell mission. So this is bringing people to our facilities, which is just part of the equation. Go and tell is also very important. And there are all kinds of other breakout sessions for that, okay? We're talking about come and see. This is the things that are happening at our facilities. So I want you to take about 3 minutes, and I want you to write down every way that you can think of that your church does mission at your facilities. And then, in just a minute, I'm going to have you share that with your neighbor, okay? Can I toss this? You'll catch it, man. I believe in you. Great catch. Anybody else need an ink pen? Here you are, sir. Thank you, buddy. And if you don't have a packet, we've got them right in front here, and we'll get one first. So take a couple minutes, and I want you to write down every way. I understand that we're recording this right now, and so there are people at home who are listening to this that'll be also at some point doing this. So those at home would love for you to take about 3 minutes and write down every way that you use your church and your facilities for mission. I didn't quite give you 3 minutes. I'm going to cut you a little bit short. But here's one of my favorite things in the world. You're all doing the same thing I did last night when I did the exercise. The first 60 seconds is really easy. Just, and then you do this. And you start thinking, man, what are we doing to do mission in our facilities? Here's what I want you to do. I know a lot of you are in groups already when you came in. But I want you to kind of look at the person next to you and share one really exciting thing to you that you do in your facilities. What's one thing that you're really excited about as a church, as a pastor, as a lay leader that you do? Share it with the person next to you or near you, okay? All right, guys, thank you. Thank you so much. I hate to cut off your conversations, but I want to kind of hear some of the ideas. Listen, I came to Reach in 2019 for the first time, and I can say with all sincerity that Reach 2019 changed my life and changed my ministry. It's one of the reasons I think I've been asked to be a spokesman for Reach when I have been asked that, because I had no idea what I was doing about evangelism. We had no plan. We just kind of did it as it happened and as we saw fit, but there was no intentionality about it. And one of the best things that ever happened was me sitting and talking with other pastors, with other lay leaders, to see what they were doing. So I want to hear some of the exciting things that are happening in your church. What are some of the things that your church does well that you're excited about? Who would want to share? Brother.
I have a couple of things. First of all, we are from the same location.
Cool. And where's that?
We're from Hodgenville.
Hodgenville, okay.
So we're like 10 miles from here. One thing that our churches as a community did, five of our Baptist churches got together, and we do a live nativity, but it's more than just a nativity.
Yeah.
It starts with the founding of Adam and Eve and in the garden.
Oh, wow.
It goes all the way through the crucifixion and the resurrection.
Wow.
And we have a tape that they play on their car phone as they go through.
So cool.
Explaining each one of the sessions. And
very cool.
It's been very, very
so successful. It's a harvest event in some sense. You've got people that are coming through. Awesome. What else do you guys have? Yes, ma'am.
We have Team Kids.
Love Team Kids. Our church does Team Kids.
The elementary school is about, we walk them over.
Cool.
It's that close. We have it every Monday after school.
I love that.
That school is in.
Great idea.
From right after Labor Day till this year's going to be the end of April.
Great idea.
Is our last. But
love that. What else?
We do it something like the Bible school.
Very cool. What else? Yes, sir, Caleb.
Okay, so my church, I'm 17 and my dad's the pastor. He's not here with me.
Cool.
I decided to come here by myself.
We're glad to have you.
We do, every Christmas, we do a Christmas tree offering, which they'll have a Christmas tree on the Christmas tree. We go up there, we take a Christmas tree, it could be like a five, any shawl could be on there, and a list of what he needs, or wants, of course. And we'll get that, we'll go to Walmart, or wherever you go to shop, we'll get all that, and then they'll buy it, and then that child will get what he wants for
what people. A blessing. That's a great ministry. Absolutely. What else? Let's hear a couple more.
We have a couple that used to own a yoga place in Bowling Green. They do hot yoga. Well, they did hot yoga in Bowling Green. They do Christian yoga at our church.
Very cool. Awesome. Love it. What else? One more. Who's got something exciting to share with us? I just feel it. We got, man.
So we bought a house in our community. It's kind of like just up the road from our... It's like right in the middle of our little town.
Yep.
So we call it the Harden House, and every Wednesday night we have different small groups that cook meals and just
communities
invited. And we started that after COVID, and it's like we got to know so many of our local community and inroads into their homes, and it's been really cool.
That's awesome, man. Thank you for sharing. Thank all you guys for sharing those. I pray that maybe you got some ideas. We're going to talk about some more practical stuff in a minute, but first I want you to think through your community and who they are. I think one of the best ways for us to do effective ministry in our community is first to exegete our community. We have to know who the people are that live there so we can better suit the needs, whatever those are. So when you think about it, who is your community? What's the median age of your community? That's really going to affect the way that you do ministry. What's the primary employment in your community? Have you guys thought through that? So I live in kind of a transient community, a bedroom community, really, where people work out of town more than they work in town. We have lots of laborers, lots of pipe fitters, lots of boiler makers, things like that, and they travel all over the state. Brother Paul.
Yeah, you can check, by the way, if you don't have that information, you can check with your regional consultant and they can give you a demographic of your community.
One of the most helpful things that I ever received was from Brother Paul in that regard, that has all of this information for you. Reach out to your regional guy. Thank you, Paul. What's your employment? What's the socioeconomic background? We have a lot of poverty in Carter County, lots of poverty. And so we're doing a lot of mercy ministry because of that. We're meeting physical needs, but we're bringing along the gospel with that to make sure that we're doing that. What's the ethnic background of your community? Is there an opportunity for you to reach out to an ethnic community that maybe doesn't look like the church that you pastor or you lead in or you're a part of? But you can reach out to them and maybe even host churches. God would raise up a leader, something like that. or common affinity? Is there just something that people do in your community? In Carter County, we have lots of hunters. We have lots of fishers. We're in between Grayson Lake and Greenbow and Cave Run. We're in that area. It's called the Heart of the Parks. So we have lots and lots and lots of fishermen that come in. And as it turns out, fishermen on Sundays don't really like coming to church. So we're still trying to figure out how to reach them exactly. But that's our community makeup. And what is it? Yes, sir. Wes.
Do you have a partnership with Fishers Come In?
We don't. That's a great idea.
Let's try that.
Let's do that. Thank you, brother. What is it that makes your community unique? Like, what? How can you already partner, leverage the things that are happening in your community and have your church be a part of that? In Grayson, we're small-town Americana. Like, parades and festivals are huge deals in Carter County. Our 50th anniversary of Memory Days was last year. Grayson's a town of about 4,000 people, and during Memory Days, our last year, there was about 20,000 people that came in. I mean, it was just... It's a big, big deal. And so our church is right on Main Street. You can't get in town in Grayson anywhere without seeing our big building there. And so we're very visible. And we can just be out in the community during those times, passing out water, sharing the gospel, having prayer teams, having floats in the parade, things like that. So just be out in your community. Leverage what's already happening in your community. And in order to do that, you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to make relationships. Work really hard with civic leaders, work really hard with schools, work really hard with whoever the movers and shakers are in your community. Build bridges with them so that you'll be viewed as the community church. It's very important because you're going to be the very first person, the very first organization, the very first people that are turned to when there's a need in the community. That's very important for you to do that. So just sort of leverage the things that are already happening. We have travel baseball, and I know pastors, travel baseball, travel sports in general are the bane of your existence. It drives you crazy. But rather than, you know, us just castigating and being mad about it all the time, why didn't you find a way to lean into that? So all of your kids that do travel sports, they're coming to Grayson because they just built a massive new sports complex. So one of the things that we're doing this year that we haven't done in years past to try to reach into that community, which is large, is we're opening up our facilities and we're hosting any of those travel teams for any of their banquets, events, dinners, anything they want to do where they get together to celebrate. They can come do that free of charge in our facilities, and we can even provide meals and have people there to fellowship and minister to them. So that's something to think about. What is it that just makes your community unique? And just along that same line, what makes your church unique? Like, what are the things that you're known for? Grayson, we're known as the food voucher church. We're known as the free yard sale church. We're known as the VBS church. Those are the things, that's kind of the identity of who we are. What are the things that your church is known for? Like, one of the things that we do, we don't have space to have a massive food pantry. So we partnered with one of the local grocery stores who we just do vouchers, a voucher system with. That's how we feed people in our community. And they come to us. They can't go to the store to get a voucher. They have to come to us. And as they're getting that information, they're getting the gospel from us. It's just a really easy win for us also to meet people who have needs. I mean, it's a really easy way for us to do that. So what is your church known for? Like, if someone in the community said First Baptist wherever, your church, what would they say your church is? What are you about? Who are you? What are you known for?
Team Kids is the...
Yeah, that's a great one. That's a great one. The small group ministry, man, that's awesome.
Food pantry. And
yeah.
Food pantry, okay. What are you guys known for? The rest of you, pastors. Just a faithful church that preaches the gospel and reaches out to the community, that's a good thing to be known for. But whatever the things that make your church unique, lean into those things, okay? That's fine to be known as that church, because being known as that church gives you the opportunity to bring the gospel alongside whatever unique thing about your context is, okay? So do that. Maybe you're the VBS church, the church that does a really good VBS or something like that. Just lean into it, and God will bless your church. So there are, I believe, two types of mission that we do at our facilities. One is intentional, proactive ministry, proactive mission. These are the things that we are intentional about scheduling. These are the things that we're intentional about doing. Then the other is responsive. Those are the things that we respond to. Let's kind of focus on intentional mission. We may go pretty quickly through this since we're running out of time. If you have any questions, just sort of hold them at the end, and that's when we would answer them. So mercy ministry, there I am sure a number of ways that your church is providing mercy ministry in your community. clothing pantry, food pantry. What else do you guys do? Mercy Ministries. Anybody?
Christmas ministry.
Love it. Christmas ministry. What is that?
Commodities.
Commodities, great. Any other ways that you're doing mercy ministry?
Financial
bill pay assistance, things like that. What did you say, brother?
Working on single moms and widows.
Love it, man. I'll tell you a really great ministry for you to partner with that nobody is doing right now is a foster care ministry. Hear that from somebody who's been working through the foster mm-hmm. system for a long time. Mm-hmm. So often these kids are being ripped out of homes and they're doing so with, they're coming with nothing. So something as simple as you keeping clothes there, you keeping formula there, you keeping diapers there would be such a blessing for your community. That's an easy way for you to be unique in your community. Be known as the foster care church, the one that's gonna spring into action immediately. And what happens is you can get a really easy, really good relationship with the DCBS, whoever it is in your, like wherever the regional office is, we have one right next, real close to us. And if you're the church that is providing for foster parents and the kids that they're receiving, you will get calls regularly mm-hmm. and you will very easily make connections in your community, okay? Mm-hmm. So it's a super easy way. Wes?
And I agree with that. We have a lady who, I don't know how many kids she's fostered over the years.
Yeah.
And you know, she's adopted three and she opened a ministry. We had an extra building that wasn't yeah. being used in our parking lot. She took it over. The amount of donations has been overwhelming.
Praise God, man.
DCBS calls us, sends people over. We have people in and out of there
yeah.
all day long.
Whoever it is, like whoever the area foster care ministry is that's partnering with the DCBS, man, they're going to send people to you regularly.
Yeah.
And if you just have a little bit of space, you can knock it out. If you just keep enough diapers for newborns, if you just keep enough diapers for whatever age, God will really bless your ministry, I promise you. So that's something to consider. Maybe you have the adequate space to host other churches. I live in an area where there are lots of small churches in our association that are right now having to make really difficult decisions about whether or not they're going to continue in ministry for lots of different reasons. By God's grace, one of those churches has reopened to receive in two new church plants. One of them is a Hispanic church plant. One of them is a new church plant, and God is just using that building and facility for His glory again. Maybe you have adequate space in your building that you could host another church there. That, like, our communities are in desperate need of more churches. If God would plant another church within my building, I would be so stoked about that. I pray that He raises up leaders that could and would do that, because we need more churches, not less churches. Maybe your facility could host another church at another time in another area, whatever it is. That'd be great. Evangelistic outreach is, I know when you think of evangelistic outreach, everybody thinks VBS, fall festivals, spring events, block parties, things like that. Anybody else doing any sort of interesting evangelistic outreach in your church you'd want to share with us? What do you got going on? Yeah, Kaylee.
Trunk or Treat.
Trunk or Treat, great one. Love Trunk or Treat. It's good ministry. Anybody else?
On the Trunk or Treat vein, we've had the community come to our church for years and years of Trunk or Treat. And with COVID, it was like, what do you do?
Yeah.
You want to get everybody. So we did a Trunk or Treat parade, and we just got like the church to kind of make floats.
Yes.
And it was really neat because for the first time, our church went in a parade lot and drove through the community.
Cool.
And we have a lot of poverty in our community. So
yeah.
one, it was eye-opening for
yeah.
our church to see.
Yeah.
But to see like the kids come out of their house, because they've never had anything like that in Hardin, and it's like their faces and their eyes, and like, wow, you drove, and we dressed up, superheroes.
I love it, man.
It was a really neat way to like, hey, you
yeah.
came to us for a long time, now we're going to
love it.
Go to you.
Great
it was,
idea.
It was a really cool thing.
Great idea. Two unique things we do at First Grayson that are both really easy and simple. We do a Christmas VBS, really, really simple. We do it at the first Monday after the kids have gone out on Christmas break, and we were able to promote that through our local elementary school that we have a really good partnership with. One of the things, because of the hard work that we've done, and I don't take any credit for this, I have great ministry people around me. We went to Pritchard Elementary, which is about a quarter of a mile from our facilities, and we said, hey, listen, we know that you have lots of needy kids. We would love to do Christmas backpacks for them this year. Let's do an angel tree like Caleb's talking about. Let's put backpacks together, and we want you to do us a favor. Send those kids and their families to our facilities to come get the backpacks, and we're going to do an event for them. So we did a Christmas VBS that same day. They sent all of their kids This was at, you know, they came on a Monday after school was out, and we got to minister and love on those kids all day and share the gospel with them, and it was just a blast. We had a great time. That's a really easy win, putting two ministry events together, Christmas backpacks and a Christmas VBS. This is our free yard sale. We legitimately, that if you ask people in our community who we are, we're the free yard sale church. Something we started about 5 years ago. I know that sounds like an oxymoron, free yard sale. It's super easy to do, and it's super helpful for your community. You have lots of poor people. Tell your church members, hey, I know you got way too much junk. I got way too much junk, and it's good junk, and there are people in our community that can use it. And so long as you have a bunch of tables and a good area to do it, and you're okay with people fighting over your junk, put on a free yard sale, okay? I don't know if you've ever been to Black Friday. Free yard sale is kind of like Black Friday in our community. If we start it at 9 o'clock in the morning, I'll have people lined up at 6 a.m. in the morning, and there'll be hundreds of them. Last year, we had about 1,500 people come for it. So what we do is we get contact information of every single person that comes. We funnel them through a specific area. They give us all that capturing information that you want. We ask them what their needs are. We share the gospel with them. We have prayer teams all around, and people get saved every single year from it. I have a lady, in fact, this lady right here, her name is Bobby Berry, and she's actually helping load that right there, replenish some of that stuff. She got saved at a free yard sale 5 years ago. And then her daughter got saved, her daughter got saved, her son-in-law got saved, her granddaughter got saved, everybody but her husband. He's the only one left. It's a family of like seven, and all of them been saved but him. Phil Berry's his name, by the way. Pray for him. All from that free yard. So it's just a great event, super easy, low cost, and easy to do, okay? Other community events you can do, host a graduation, offer your building for civic events, do celebrations and banquets. Just reach out to your civic leaders, your city building people, whoever it is. I'd say, listen, our facilities are open for whatever you want to do. We want you to be here. And then just be a good neighbor. Tom Rainer, in his new book, Post-Quarantine Church, talks about a couple of different churches. One who has put a room in their church or painted a room in their church, and they just call it their birthday room. And they advertise in their community, if any kid wants to have a birthday party at our facilities, they can come in free of charge, and you can have a birthday party in our building, and we'll provide whatever it is that you need. And so that's a great idea. Another church in that book, Post-Quarantine Church, has put a laundry room in their church. I love this idea. I wish we had facilities for it. And they say from this time until this time, this day of the week, you can come in and wash your clothes free of charge. We're going to provide child care for you during that period so that you can do that. And it gives you another opportunity to share the gospel with these people. Weddings. Open your facilities up for free weddings. Just have a really good wedding policy if you're going to do that, okay? Open them up for free weddings, but make sure you have a good wedding policy if you're going to do that. And then blessing boxes. If it's after hours and somebody needs food and you're not there, have stuff in there for them and have gospel information in there for them, okay? That's all intentional mission. There's responsive mission as well. Disaster response, very important, tragedy response, venue cancellations, social issues. Disaster response, this was us at our warming shelter last year. How many of you experienced those massive ice storms in February of last year? Our building on Main Street, our ministry center, was the only building that had power. And it was like God was just telling us, get moving with this. So we opened up a warming shelter, and that first night we had two, the second night we had 20, the third night we had almost 200. I mean, it was just chaos. And God did some really cool things. Lots of people got saved while we were there. We got to baptize some people on Sunday morning. Had a live stream. None of our church members could get there, but a few got to baptize them in a feeding trough sponsored by Key Supply Service, a farm service in town. Finally, the power went out, and the night it went out, I got to preach the gospel by candlelight to everybody, and some people got saved. It was so cool. It's one of the highlights of our life there. God's been so cool in that. So be willing to step up in disaster response. Hey, all the churches out in West Kentucky who have stepped up after this tornado, you've seen the stories and stories. If the church isn't willing to do that, nobody's going to do it. Minister in tragedies. Be the church that's known for having prayer vigils in your community. It's simple. And you get to minister to people. Host funerals for free. I know that sounds weird, but if you reach out to your funeral home directors in the community and you tell them that your church is willing to host funerals for free, they will tell people that as they come in, because they're not going to charge people less for sending them to churches. They're still going to coordinate that whole process, but they don't have to have them in their building. And there are a lot of people in your community that would want their funeral in a church. And pastors, you know this. in the midst of funerals, there's never a time that people are more receptive to the gospel. It's incredible. So be willing to host funerals in your church for free. And then specific tragedy ministry, we recently had an apartment fire in Carter County that claimed the life of a city worker. And there were lots of first responders that were a part of that. And they were all devastated. They loved this man. They were all really close to him. And so we had a time of mourning at our church. And we also had a banquet for his family and for the first responders that came. We just loved on them. We had counselors there. Individually was with him. And God has really blessed us since then. Venue cancellation, just be willing to step up. Like wedding venue cancels, banquets cancels, whatever it is, be known as the church that's willing to open your doors. Just simple, simple stuff. Social issues, be willing to speak in issues in the culture. I want to be careful when I even say that. But like Sanctity of Life Sunday, be the Sanctity of Life Church. Have a rally in your facility. Be the one that talks about abortion. Be the one that talks about how and why we're pro-life. Racism, things like that, be willing to step up and have a dialogue about that. In a couple of months, we're doing a series that we're calling Difficult Questions, where we're talking about transgenderism, we're talking about homosexuality, we're talking about pornography, and we're talking about adultery from the pulpit. So we're actually canvassing our neighborhoods a month beforehand. We've already got the material printed out where we're just going to tell people, hey, if you have questions about sexual identity, if you have questions about gender identity, come and let's talk about it. Let us tell you what the Bible says about it. So that's something that we're doing at the end of the year. Last summer, when all the protests were happening across the country, for whatever reason, they ended up in Grayson, and a town of 4,000 started having massive protests. Our church is right on Main Street, and so it's unnerving, pastors, to walk outside of your building and seeing everybody carrying long rifles. It's really something. We end up, the first Sunday that they happened, we let church out 30 minutes early so we could get out into the community, which is right at our doorstep. And there were people leaving our church crying because there were guys with AR-15s walking all over Grace. Now, I can tell you, it's unnerving to walk outside your building. This is our office right here. And looking and seeing guys lining all of the buildings in Grayson with guns pointed down. And so we had Black Lives Matter protesters that came in. And then we had tons and tons of counter-protesters that came in, and there were about 8,000 people that first time. And so what we decided we were going to do, without taking sides, without doing anything, is we were going to cool everybody off. We were going to pass out water and tell people about Jesus. That was our ministry during that. And we passed out ministry to BLM protesters, and we get cussed out by counter-protesters. We pass out water to counter-protesters, and we get cussed out by BLM people. And all throughout, we just told people about Jesus and told them that Jesus loved them. And that was an excellent ministry opportunity. The reason I'm sharing that with you is because this is responsive ministry. Things happen in your community, and it's important that you do your very best to jump in. So quickly, as we close, I just want to talk about why this matters. First, the reason it matters is because your community is lost. It is so lost. 94% of Carter County doesn't attend church. Your numbers are similar. Nobody's doing great right now when it relates to your communities. So it's important that you do mission in this time. Second, it's important that you do mission because the reputation of the Bride of Christ is at stake. Like, how is your church going to be known? How will First Baptist Grayson, how will we be known? Will we be known as the church that refuses to open our doors for a lost and dying world? I hope not. The Lord's entrusted us talents. It's our responsibility to steward them well. And I want you to know that if you do this, God's going to bless you immensely and more than you can ever possibly imagine. I want to tell you a real quick story, and I'll end after this, I promise. Well, I say it's a quick story. It may not be. So when we did our warming shelter last year, it was just a spur-of-the-moment thing. And we had no idea how God was going to use it. One of the ways that he used it is the second night we were there, he walked in this couple through our front doors. And the couple had two babies, beautiful babies. They were 10-month-olds. And it was apparent from the very get-go that there was an issue. There had been physical abuse of the kids. We found out later that there had been sexual abuse of the kids. And the father of the kids tried to sell drugs in our facilities that night and was arrested. And the kids ended up being removed from the father and the mother. We got a call a month later asking if we would take these babies, that they were in need of a home. And my wife and I, we had figured that God was done providing us kids We'd been pursuing an adoption, and it just didn't seem like the biological thing was going to happen anymore. Right in the midst of this, we get this call of these two babies that we ministered to. Hey, will you take them short term? And we did. And we still have them. And by God's grace, in a month, we're going to adopt them. Their names are Jonathan and Liliana. Those are our children. And I can tell you that God will bless you in ways that you can't even possibly imagine if you will just be missional. There's nothing that we could have ever done to bring this about. And one of these days, by God's grace, Jonathan and Liliana are going to look at us and say, Mom, Dad, how did you find us? And I'm going to say, God literally walked you through my front door. That's what God will do for you. Listen, he may not give you a baby like he did me, but I promise you that he will bless you in ways that you can't even imagine. And that's not the primary reason that we do mission, but it is a wonderful reminder to us that God gives us good things. He loves his people. He loves his church, and he loves your church. My prayer for you is that as you have already been doing, you'll continue to be missional. That you'll recognize that our greatest calling is to leverage our facilities for the glory of God and for the good of our community. I want to ask you, do you have any questions, anything at all? We're out of time, but I'd love anything you've got, any comments, anything. Let's hear it. Anything at all.
Thank you.
All right, let's run.
Hey, you drank.
I love your free yard sale thing.
Yeah, it's yes. The easiest thing ever, and it's, I shouldn't say it's easy. It's low maintenance. It is exhausting.
Yeah.
But it's a great, great ministry, and we've seen in 5 years 20 or more people saved through it. I mean, it's just an easy ministry. Lots of people come in through our church that way. It's a blessing to do it.
I can see that working for us.
Yeah, it's easy. If you got space to do it, or if you could rent a place to do it, it's super easy.
Space.
Yeah, easy. Y'all got stuff to get rid of too. I know you do.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
My house. I got bags everywhere of stuff. My wife has been bagging up, ready for our free yard sale, which is in May. She's giving away all my clothes, it looks like. What else? Questions? I don't know. I'll find out. Questions, comments, thoughts, anything?
It's very interesting.
Thank you.
By the way, on your app, you have a place where you can evaluate the conference that you just attended today. And so, as I told the other group, if you give Josh a really good report, we're going to pay him. But if you give him a bad report, Josh has to pay up.
Amen. Yeah. That
sounds very great. Interesting.
Yes, well, thank you. Thank you. Let me give you my cell phone if you ever had any questions or you ever wanted it for any reason. You're welcome to reach out to me. You're welcome to write it down. I'm an East Kentucky boy, so it's 606. 606-465-4277. I'm Josh Schmidt. You hit me on Facebook, Twitter, whatever you got. I'll be there. And thank you for being here.